Welcome to the Leaders in Payments podcast, where we talk to C-level leaders from across the payments landscape. We'll be discussing the products and services that impact the payment space today, as well as trends and predictions for the future of payments. We will also hear stories from our guests about their journeys to the top.
We like this concept of a round-trip payment that we service our merchants with. And our merchants tend to be those folks that need a round-trip payment, where they need to disperse loan proceeds to a customer instantly, then collect back the installment, or a broker that needs to load an account, or on sale of equities, unload the account instantly. So again, this concept of round-trip payment, there and back again payments.
That was Rodney Robinson, CEO and co-founder of TabaPay, and he is our special guest this week. This is episode 86 of the Leaders in Payments podcast, and I'm your host, Greg Myers. And hey, before we get started, if you happen to office in Houston, Austin, or North Texas, check out Fuse Workspace, where their mission is to help others do more. Check them out at fuseworkspace.com. Okay, back to the show. Rodney grew up in Omaha, Nebraska, and has been in California for the last 40 years. TabaPay was named after a Lord of the Rings book called There and Back Again, or TABA. And TabaPay is all about there and back again payments. They both disperse money instantly as well as collect it back, a round trip payment. They process $15 billion in payments and have grown about 50% in the last year. Rodney is driven by satisfying the customer. One of the main goals of the company is to make sure their customers are happy. He also has some great advice for those just starting their careers in fintech. We've got a great episode today, so let's get started. Hi, Rodney. Thank you for being here, and welcome to the Leaders in Payments podcast.
Greg, appreciate you having me on. Thank you.
Absolutely. So let's dive right in. Tell our audience a little bit about yourself, maybe where you grew up, where you went to school, where you currently live, a few things like that.
So I grew up in Omaha, Nebraska, and came out to go to college and high school to California. Been in the San Francisco Bay Area for the last, 40 years. So I've been in the Bay Area for over 40 years now.
Okay. So how did you get from Omaha to California?
Well, you know, when you're a kid, you follow your father. He wasn't in payments. But he took a lot of payments at Walgreens, so he got me interested in money years ago, okay?
Gotcha. Well, great. Let's talk about the company TabaPay. So tell the audience what TabaPay does.
TabaPay, just a little bit about the name. So I'm a Lord of the Rings fan, and there's a book in the Lord of the Rings called There and Back Again. And TabaPay is about there and back again payments. And so I get to put my two favorite things together, Lord of the Rings with payments. And our company does instant payments for financial technology companies. We can both disperse money instantly as well as collect it back. So we like this concept of a round-trip payment that we service our merchants with. And our merchants tend to be those folks that need a round-trip payment, where they need to disperse loan proceeds to a customer instantly, then collect back the installment, or a broker that needs to load an account, or on sale of equities, unload the account instantly. So again, this concept of round-trip payment, there and back again payments. Okay?
Okay. Okay. And how big is the company?
We process, we'll do $15 billion in payments this year. Last year, we were a little over 10. So we'll grow about 50% this year, despite all the economic turmoil. But we're a $15 billion payment processor.
Okay. And how do you go to market? Through a direct sales team or through partner channels? How do you go to market?
When we started the company, it was direct sales. We have, you know, a fantastic business development person that leads that effort and really is consultative sales, but we've de-emphasized that. And we now process for 13 different banks, one in Canada and 12 in the US. And so we're focused more on processing financial technology merchants for banks. And so we de-emphasize direct selling and sell more through our banks, bank relationships.
Okay. And what would you say differentiates your company from your competitors out there?
So we specialize in financial technology payments. What that means is that we don't do e-commerce purchases. We rarely do service purchases, but we focus on loading money or unloading money, dispersing or collecting. And there's a overlay in financial technology that includes compliance, some very unique transactions, whether it's bill payment, debt repayment, account funding. So what differentiates us is that we have a great compliance team that can get these hard-to-bank financial technology companies banked. We also support unique interchange and payment programs on these various networks, from bill payment to debt repayment to unique disbursement types that move money instantly. And finally, we have this unified API that moves money instantly, whether it's a card or a bank account. So we're connected to the clearinghouse's direct processor for instant payments to bank accounts, as well as cards through Visa, MasterCard, and the regional networks, and then we can collect back instantly. So one API, unique compliance, unique network transactions make us different than other folks. Okay.
Okay. And what size banks, or just any bank, or are there mid-tier, or what do you guys really focus on?
All of our banks service financial technology companies. So if someone told me that Wells Fargo was interested in talking or speaking to us to process, I would probably refuse that invitation. The only one in the world to refuse an invitation at Wells Fargo. Our banks focus on financial technology, and they all have uniqueness. As an example, we serve some of the largest prepaid issuers in the United States with account funding and unloading the accounts. But they're the issuer, big issuers, whether it's the Bancor Bank or MetaBank, which has been announced. Those are big prepaid and digital bank issuers, all the way to companies like Evolve Bank and Trust and CBW that specialize more in lending or cryptocurrency or some of these unique money transmission companies. Cross River Bank is big in money transmission. So all these banks have a unique focus on financial technology, from crypto to money transmission to issuing. And our acquiring platform services their needs very well with these unique transactions, compliance overlay, unique risk tools for this market. So we service those types of banks with those unique services. Okay.
Okay. And it sounds like you were pretty successful over the last year, going from 10 to 15 billion in transactions. So apparently the pandemic wasn't necessarily bad for you. Can you sort of explain why you think that's the case?
As people stayed home, they still need loans, they still need bank accounts, they still need to move money. And so our business accelerated last year, unfortunately, because of the pandemic and the people staying at home. And so that forced them to do remote financial services, and that accelerated our business. And so, you know, whether it's actually, frankly, that's the reason. Okay.
Okay. Where do you see payments heading, say, in the next 2 to 3 years?
So I think this remoteness is here to stay. So I think, number one, instant payments are just the entry point. And so it's no longer good enough to an hour or two. It has to be instant. That'll just accelerate across industries. And I think this remoteness in online financial services are going to dominate. I mean, I look at what's happening in just digital banking. I mean, Chime set a standard, and now there's just digital banks are coming up every week or two. And so remote services, particularly in the millennial group, is just continuing. So our business will accelerate with the broader adoption of online financial services. Okay.
Do you foresee a day when we don't see a bank branch on every corner?
That was a prediction 20 years ago. I don't think it's come to fruition yet. But frankly, it's finally coming to fruition. And what I see is a consolidation in financial services, where anything done in the brick and mortar is, you know, just a target for an online financial service company, whether it's Square on small merchant acquiring, LendingClub on consumer installment lending, or Bluevine on business lending. So there are brick and mortar services that's a target for fintech companies, where brick and mortar services a local market, fintech blows it up to a national market. And that's the advantage fintech has over brick and mortar, where brick and mortar delivers a small service to a small group. The financial technology company delivers that same service across the United States. So brick and mortar finally, I think, is going to go away. And you're going to see a consolidation in these services around some very large financial technology companies.
Do you think the concept of a super app is going to make sense?
You know, good question. I don't know. That's a good question. If you look, all the apps today are very vertical, whether it's Robinhood on trading, whether it's Chime on banking. I mean, a super app would put together Chime and Robinhood and Coinbase, even elements of Venmo. And so my guess is the consumer wants that. And so that's probably the next step. That's really a good point, Greg. Super app is probably where it's going to go. That's a good idea. It's a good point.
Yeah. You know, you hear it talked about, or you know, at least did some. And then recently I heard the CEO of PayPal start talking about it again as one of their sort of strategic planks is building this super app. And I was just thinking, you know, given what you guys do, it's certainly becomes a component of that, at least I think your customers do. So thought that might be an interesting thing to bring up.
Yeah. Well, one comment on that, Greg, what we see, you know, we service a lot of payroll and consumer advance companies. And we do see them. Everyone is trying to grow their domain, trying to grow their sphere of who they serve. And we see lenders and advanced companies delivering bank accounts now. And we see bank accounts and digital banks delivering lending products, right? And so you're right. They are trying to grow who they serve and how they serve. And even some, I think SoFi probably delivers all the services packaged in like PayPal. So yeah, I think the super app is where it's going to go. And that's a great point.
Yeah. Do you think that's part of my typical question about kind of the market is I always ask about, hey, 2 to 3 years, what does it look like? And then the crystal ball and say, hey, 10 years from now, what does it look like? And typically that's a hard question to answer, but I thought I'd throw it out there anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think 10 years is a long way away. I think in the next 1 or 2 years, I mean, you know, thinking of this people, it's hard to move money. We make moving money easier, but having one place to go in a financial technology company for brokerage, banking, lending, it probably makes sense. And I think it's going to happen much sooner. So I think 10 years is too far out.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree with you there. Well, let's switch gears a little bit and talk about you. Tell us about your journey into your role there as the CEO and co-founder of TaboPay. How did you get to where you are today?
Yeah, great question. I've been in financial services for, probably 30 years. And this journey started at a company called OboPay, which was trying to be a one-stop financial service shop years ago. And we got the idea of instant disbursements in that company. That company left the United States. So they had I think they probably eventually declared bankruptcy, but we started a company called Omni that was a big player in these instant payouts for digital commerce companies. And we serviced a lot of the platform companies with instant payouts for wages back in 2012, 13. Sold that company to MasterCard, and we realized that all of our customers that wanted instant payouts also wanted to be able to collect money on that same card. And so at that point, we decided to start another company, did both sides of the payment instantly, whether it's collecting money, dispersing money, loading, unloading, but let the consumer and the merchant use one card for both dispersing and collecting instantly. And you lower the risk profile. So it started instant payouts and evolved to this company, which does both sides of the payment, at lowering the risk and increasing the speed of both sides. Okay?
Okay. And is this your third company you've started?
I think the third. I mean, my first one was at a college. And then I started Technology. This is the third. I think it's the third or fourth company.
Okay.
Yeah, I sold my first company when I was in college. It did inventory management for some big retail chains, but I was so poor, I sold it for 2 Super Bowl tickets back in the early 80s.
So a successful exit, as they would say.
Yeah, for 2 tickets. Yeah, it was great.
And you used the word earlier, we. So you have a co-founder?
Yeah, I've done, the CTO and myself have done at least 3 companies together. And we've been together for 35 years. I met him first at IBM, and we've done these companies and products for years. And our chief revenue officer joined us from MasterCard. And so 3 founders from MasterCard started this company.
Okay. And I always like to ask when there's multiple founders. So what is the dynamic like having multiple founders in the company?
I think it works well. Myself and CTO, we go back 35 years. And so no matter how bloody the fighting or how high the screaming, we always shake hands and move forward. Our chief revenue officer, Manoj, and I agree on most things. So it's worked well. We don't have a lot of conflict. And I think we're all aligned on, frankly, serving our customers, which makes it easy. We're all focused on having happy customers.
Yeah. Well, that always helps to have the same strategic outlook on things, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So what are some things you're passionate about? So maybe pick one business-related item and maybe one personal.
Mm-hmm. So what drives me and what I'm sure every employee will say is I want satisfied customers. And so that's what drives me in business. I learned that initially when I was at IBM. We had this great leader, and IBM was bad at a lot of things back then, but the guy I worked for was passionate about customer satisfaction. And I've carried that for 35 years. And I want my customers happy, and the company's goal is to make happy customers. That drives me in business. And personally, I'm part of the community. I volunteer a lot at the high school, and I'm very passionate about that. And I do that a lot in my spare time.
Okay. You know, the fintech and payment space has gotten interesting over the last several years and definitely changed. I've been in the payment space for about 16 years. And, you know, when I started, I mean, basically, it was just another job. It wasn't a career path. It wasn't me looking for the payment space. But I think now that's changed with all the money that's been invested in payments and fintech. Kids are taking courses in college around fintech. So I think people are interested in the industry as a career path. So the question is, what would you tell someone coming maybe right out of college that wants to work in fintech or payments? What would you tell them they need to do to be successful?
So it's a few things, right? First is always focus on your customers and what they need. But if you look at financial technology, we've been doing this thing for 50, 60, since computers were born. But fintech is all about moving data. And data happens to be money in financial technology. What makes fintech different is that you have to solve for risk, speed, and I'll call it reliability or accountability. And so when you're in college, learn how to move data, learn how to do it well, and then solve those three things. And if you put your customer satisfaction on top of that, you're going to have a successful fintech company. But fintech is just moving data in a secure, reliable, low-risk fashion, right? But just learn the basics in college and satisfy your customers, just like any business, okay?
So what are your thoughts on coming out of college into this space, working for a startup versus working for a big, huge multinational company?
Yeah. So one thing about fintech that is interesting is that if you really want to do well in it, you have to know the guts of it. And that's how the money moves. And there's a lot of secret art in that. And you aren't going to learn that probably at a big bank. You're going to learn that at a small company. And so whether you want to learn how all ISO messages work to Visa and MasterCard and regional networks, or really learn how, you know, what's the nuts and bolts of an ACH file, go work for a small company and learn that stuff. And through deep learning, you'll be able to innovate and build your own company. And that's my advice to them. These big companies, whether it's Google or Facebook or Wells Fargo, you have a very narrow job. You won't learn the nuts and bolts of this thing. But if you want to build your own fintech company, learn the nuts and bolts, how this stuff really works, go to a small company. Learn it, and then you can innovate on it. Okay?
Okay, sounds good. We've covered a lot today so far about your company and your background and a little about the industry as a whole. So is there anything else you'd like to add before we wrap up?
No, I think this has been very enjoyable, Greg. Appreciate you having me on.
Great. Well, Rodney, thank you so much for being on today. I know your time is very valuable, so I appreciate you being here.
Great, thank you.
And to all you listeners out there, I thank you for your time as well. And until the next story.
Thank you for joining us this week on the Leaders in Payments podcast. Make sure you visit our website at leadersinpayments.com, where you can subscribe to the show and where you'll find our show notes. If you enjoyed listening, please share on your social channels as well.